Meeting of the House State Affairs Committee will come to order. Time is 3:02, February 21st. Members present are Representative Carpenter, Representative Armstrong, Representative Allard, Representative Story, and myself, Rep. Shaw. Vice Chair is presently excused. Vice Chair Wright. We have a quorum. If you would, please silence your cell phones. If anyone in the audience today needs to pass a note to committee members, please get the attention of our committee aide, Josh Walton, and he'll take care of it. I'd like to thank our committee secretary, Sophia Tenney, and Lisa Denny for teleconferencing. The first order of business today is House Bill 3, an act relating to specie as legal tender in the state and relating to borough and city sales and use tax on specie, sponsored by Representative McCabe. It's the second hearing for this bill. At our first hearing, we heard a presentation of the bill and heard invited testimony. We also opened and closed public testimony. It's my understanding that there are two fiscal notes for House Bill 3. I'll ask my staff, Josh Walton, if he would speak briefly to them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Joshua Walton, staff to Chair Representative Shaw. There are two fiscal notes before you for House Bill 3. The first is from the Department of Administration, Appropriation, Centralized Administrative Services. They report a zero fiscal note for House Bill 3. The second fiscal note before you is a fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. That is from the Community and Regional Affairs Appropriation, and that is also a zero fiscal note. And that's all I have for the fiscal notes on this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Walton. We do not have a committee substitute for House Bill 3, nor do we have any amendments before the committee. At our last meeting, we did not set an amendment deadline, but my staff has polled the members to see if there is an interest in amending House Bill 3. So far, there hasn't been any interest expressed in offering amendments, but I'll put it before the committee again at this time. Do any members have an interest in amending the bill? Seeing none, what is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Story.
Through the chair, sorry about that, Rep. Carpenter. I just had a couple of questions I wanted to ask. I thought you were going to make a motion. If you'd rather have the motion on the table first, that's fine.
No, please.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Rep. McCabe, thank you. It's my understanding that this bill does not remove collectibles from the sales tax. And from our reading last time, and can you show me where that is in the bill again?
So through the chair, Representative Kevin McCabe, representing District 30, and say, can you repeat the question? I'm not quite hearing you.
Sure. It's my understanding that the bill does not remove collectibles from having a sales tax. And I was just wondering where that is in the bill.
So we ran this through Ledge Legal, and that was a very question we asked last year, 2 years ago, when we first put this in. I think Representative Stutz had the same thing, and I can't exactly remember the which one of these statutes it says. But as a collectible, typically anything that you are using for as a collectible, like if you buy a sheet of $2 bills, there's five of them, you would think that would be worth $10. But it's not. It's actually worth about $25 because it is a collectible. So anytime money, numismatics are used as a collectible, they are taxable under most codes. And I suspect that the answer lies in the particular city code or borough code, whichever one collects the taxes on it. So I don't have a better answer for you than that.
Thank you. And I had one other question, if I might. Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, also in the last meeting, we talked about the potential loss of revenue to the municipalities. And were you able to find out any more information about that?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, again, no. We talked to several different communities. Juneau said it's confidential information. they were unwilling to give it out. The Mat-Su Borough said they don't tax anybody. We were unable to get a hold of Wasilla. We did talk to several of the other states that have used this. I have heard the thought from, frankly, from AML that it's going to cost $5 million to our cities and states. I can't understand for the life of me where that number came from, because the cities that collect taxes don't get that granular. In other words, they collect a tax from a tourism store down here that sells tourists. All they do is collect the tax. They don't say how much of this tax is for teddy bears, how much of this tax is for specie, gold coins, how much of this tax is for earrings. They just collect the tax based on sales. So they don't get that granular. So I'm not real sure where AML came up with that number. We did talk to several states that have done this on their fiscal notes for loss of local revenue. Arkansas, state population of 3.26026 million was $255,000. Tennessee, state population of 7.05 million, $117,000. And this is statewide. Maine, state population 1.3 million, $27,750. So, and I don't know what their sales taxes are, that sort of thing. We were sort of, we had today to do it, essentially. So that's the numbers that we came up with. We did talk to Revenue, Department of Revenue again, and with 2-0 fiscal notes, we were pretty comfortable moving ahead with this bill. Is it going to cost a state or a city or a municipality somewhere that has a sales tax a little bit of money? Probably. But I think that they're already losing revenue on gold and silver sales because people just aren't reporting. So.
Thank you for that information.
Thank you. For the note, for the record, Representative Johnson joined us at 3:04 p.m. Okay, back with no amendments to the bill. What is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 3, Work Order 33-LS0087-B out of committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you. Without objection, House Bill 3 moves out of the State House Affairs with the attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease to pass around the bill sheet. Our next order of business is House Bill 48, an act relating to reports from the State Commission for Human Rights, sponsored by Representative Prox. It's the second hearing for the bill. At our first hearing, we heard a presentation of the bill and heard invited testimony. We also opened and closed public testimony. We do have a committee substitute for House Bill 48. Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 48, work draft 33-LS0285-B for the committee's discretion.
Thank you, Representative Carpenter. I'd like to invite my staff, Josh Walden, to speak to the changes to the bill. Mr. Walden, would you please put yourself on the record?
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. For the record, Josh Walton, staff to Representative Shaw. So I'll just briefly run through the changes that the House State Affairs Committee substitute makes to House Bill 48. These are changes, I should note, that were worked on and presented by the sponsor of the bill in consultation with the Alaska Commission on Human Rights and with our own legislative library. So the committee substitute for the bill makes minor changes as to Alaska Statutes 18.80.060, as the previous version of the bill did. The original version listed May 1st as the deadline for the three-year assessment. The committee substitute changes it to 90 days after the convening of the legislative session for which the report is required. It also allows for electronic copies and requires notification that the report is available. This is a little bit different from the previous version of the bill, which required, as previous statute did, that the legislative library be in charge of distributing the copies, the paper copies, of the report from the Alaska Commission on Human Rights. So this allows for electronic distribution and only requires that the commission that the library notify the legislature that the report is available. As the previous version of the bill did, the committee substitute also changes Section 2 of Alaska Statutes 18.80.8150. It allows the annual report to be available within 90 days of the convening of the legislative session. And as I mentioned, it changes the form of the report to electronic form rather than printed copy. This CS achieves the intended result that the Alaska Commission on Human Rights requested, which allows them more time to complete the report so that they can incorporate data that's only available at the beginning of the year and can still present to the legislature this report in a timely fashion. And that's the summary of the changes to House Bill 48, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Walton. Are there any questions from members? Seeing no questions. My understanding that there's a fiscal note for House Bill 48, and if you would speak to that, Mr. Walton, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, Josh Walton, staff to Representative Shaw. There is one fiscal note for House Bill 48. Does not have a published date, but it is from the Department of the Office of the Governor, Appropriation Commissions, and Special Offices. It is a zero fiscal note, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. At our last meeting, we did not set an amendment deadline, but I'll put it before the committee at this time. Do any members have an interest in amending this bill? Brief at ease. Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just noticing before we have a discussion about moving this out of the committee that the fiscal note is for the previous bill before we adopted the committee substitute. And it is a zero fiscal note, and we're anticipating that a fiscal note for the adopted CS would also be a zero fiscal note or better, and thought that that needed to be on the record. The next committee that the bill is sent to can address the updated fiscal note, and I think we can still pass it out, although I'm not the authority on that. We can.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Carpenter. On that note, what is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute for House Bill 48, Work Order 33-LS0285/B out of committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Without objection, House Bill 3 moves out of State House Affairs with the attached fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease to pass around the bill sheet. Back on the record, our final order of business today is House Bill 25, an act relating to eligibility for the permanent fund dividend and providing for an effective date, sponsored by Representative Story. Do we have a committee substitute for House Bill 25, Representative Carpenter?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. I move the committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 25, Work Draft 33-LS0265/S.
Thank you, Representative Carpenter. I'd like to invite my staff, Josh Walton, to speak to the changes of the bill. Mr. Walton, would you please put yourself on the record?
Thank you once again, Mr. Chair. For the record, Josh Walton, staff to Representative Shaw. So just to briefly summarize the changes, the House State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 25 retains all of the provisions as originally introduced, the primary provision being that it would allow members of the uniformed services to claim deployments as allowable absences for PFDs. However, the committee substitute has incorporated two additional primary provisions. The first one is a change to Alaska Statute 43.23.008A, which you'll find on page 2, lines 12 through 19. That adds an additional allowable absence for an eligible individual if they are absent from the state during the qualifying year for the purposes of attending a vocational program approved by the U.S. Coast Guard that trains students for a career in the U.S. Merchant Marine. This is a change that has been proposed a few times before in the past, and it's a change that's time has come. The second change is to Alaska Statute 43.23.011, which you'll find on page 4, lines 5 through 12. This adds a hardship extension for folks, eligible individuals who have their PFDs filed, their applications filed for them by a guardian or an authorized representative. If that guardian or authorized representative has a medical emergency and therefore misses the filing deadline, they can request an extension and file it as late as October 1st, according to this provision. I'd also note that there is a corresponding title change to bring the title into compliance. Those are the changes between the current work order in front of you, the work draft, and the previous version.
Thank you, Mr. Walton. Are there any questions from members? It's my understanding that there's a fiscal note for House Bill 25. Could you speak to that, Mr. Walton?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to. Before you is a fiscal note for House Bill 25, a single one. It comes from the Department of Revenue in the Appropriation, Taxation, and Treasury Permanent Fund Dividend Division Allocation. This is OMB component number 981. Mr. Chair, it is a zero fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Walton. There's a bit of housekeeping. I'll note that the CS was only provided to members earlier today. It's always been my intention that members have enough time to review committee materials prior to acting on them. So if members feel like they would like to take more time reviewing the committee substitute before taking action, you are invited to say so now, and we will be happy to accommodate you. Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just thinking about the fiscal note being a zero fiscal note, but we are adding potential individuals eligible for receiving permanent fund dividend. I'm wondering if the question was asked of the administration whether, I guess maybe it's not determinable, if that's a word, as to how many people this might affect or what the cost is to the PFD program as to why it's not reflected in the fiscal note. Like, there's zero cost. I understand the fiscal note, zero cost to implement the program, but what is the impact to the state dividend program? Wouldn't that be in the fiscal note?
Mr. Walton.
Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, the fiscal note before us specifies that there is a zero fiscal note because the bill has minimal IT coding impact to the division. It does not seem to address the changes that the number of additional permanent funds dividends that would potentially be provided as a result of this. My suspicion is that that number is indeterminate.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In conversations I've had, if there would be a physical note, it would be coming from the public because they're the ones that are going to lose because the amount that is allocated is the amount. So this just adds more, so it would be less to each individual, but it's not going to cost the state anymore, and it is a state fiscal note. So if we could get one from the public, you might see it a little different. But they're not allowed the opportunity to submit a fiscal note.
We've got staff or Representative Story, if he'd like to come forward and put himself on the record.
For the record, my name is Seth Witten, staff to Representative Story, and Representative Johnson is correct. It does not add money. It takes the pool of funds that would be paid out for dividends and divides it by a slightly smaller number. I can tell you that for NOAA Corps, who have a record of residence in Alaska, that's six people. For our Public Health Service Commissioned Officer Corps, that's 356 who maintain a home record, a record of residence in Alaska. And I don't have exact calculations, and it's difficult to say. When we asked the Division of Revenue how much would this impact particular dividends, they said we don't know because we don't track applications that we deny. And so the same thing with the apprenticeship for Merchant Marines. It's you can't put an exact number on it, but what I did do as I was trying to get my head around it with the original numbers was to determine that with those numbers, it might amount to approximately a $6 difference in individual dividends.
Thank you, Mr. Witten.
Does that take care of your concern, Representative Carpenter?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from the committee? Very well. What is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we committee substitute for House Bill 25 be moved out of committee. That's work order 33-LS0265/S with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Without objection, House Bill 25 moves out of State Affairs with the attached fiscal note. If members would please remain to complete the referral sheet. We'll take an at ease for that. Concludes our business for this hearing, and this meeting is adjourned at 3:35.